Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your goodness. I want to talk to you this morning about the anointing. And if you listen, you're going to learn something today. Some of you know a lot about this, and some of you maybe don't know very much. That's the great thing about having people at different levels of learning, but all the time the Lord is imparting to us the things that we need to know. You know, the anointing of God is the most precious thing on earth. It came from heaven. It came from God. It's not man-made, although men try to make it. It comes from God, and it rests upon mere humans. In the Old Testament, David and others were anointed. They would have oil poured on them, which was symbolic of God's anointing that was coming upon the individual's life. This is one of the realities and truths that is being lost in the church. You know, we don't, we don't found and grow churches anymore. We plant them. We use a totally different terminology. But nothing will ever challenge the power of the anointing and hearing from God, because Jesus said, I will build my church. And when we build God's way, he tells us exactly how. I've had people ask me through the years, did you have a master plan to develop the property? And I said, no, but we had a master who planned it. So this is one of the realities and truths that's being lost. And individuals are simply assigned tasks because of their talent or education. That'll get thin. Just educated people, just talented people, when you need them the most, they don't have this depth of this spiritual reality called the anointing. But God chooses and calls, and then he instructs that those individuals be anointed with oil with their assignment he's given. You remember the Lord told Samuel to anoint David king over Israel. And he sent Samuel. Now, I'm not going to go in at length to tell any stories. That's when he hit on some high spots. But they brought all of Jesse's sons out. And I just love the line as he approaches one of them that he says, the Lord has not chosen this. Oh, that we could understand that some people who think they might be in line for the anointing, God just calls this. Not even this person, just this. It has to be those that God has called. And before he will release his anointing, you can't make God release the anointing. But he wants to give it for those that he has called and chosen for the tasks that he wants to accomplish. It really is a spiritual reality. So David seemed the most unlikely, but it was God's choice. Many people are not clear as to what the anointing of God is, even what's necessary to accomplish God's assignment. When Moses finished the tabernacle, God anointed him. This is page one. Twice. Yeah, we did have a little problem with getting things together this morning. Anoint the furniture of the tabernacle, and he anointed the priests as well. The anointing sets aside and empowers for God's purpose. Now, I'm not just talking to you today. I am delivering to you something that you've needed all your life. If you don't understand it now, once you get hold of this, you'll just rejoice in the anointed ones that God has set in your midst, because they are your ticket to getting hold of a whole line of things that God wants to give you. He sends it through people, and this is how God works. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away. This is Isaiah 10:27. From off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Oh, what a great day when I understood that, or came to realize that if you have anointed people in your midst, responding to God, being obedient to him, letting the precious Holy Spirit and His power flow through them, then yokes will be broken. How many of you know people don't need you telling them one more time what to do? People need you to let the anointing flow through you. Now, the Lord showed Moses that he should put together, after the art of the apothecary, and Moses was the chief druggist, and he was to put together certain ingredients. For this particular anointing oil, there were four ingredients. Now, Dr. Pickett has a teaching manual on the anointing. My mentors really knew some stuff. And so I got that stuff taught to me, even personally by them through the anointing, so that it is deep within me. Some of you that I have mentored through the years, you can't get away from it. You think you believe what I believe, and you do. I just, you know, I pray, Lord, we want to think God's thoughts after you. And a person who mentors you, you just get to where you think like they think, you feel like. You know, I mean, for example, I remember Dr. Pickett saying, I always prefer the other person. I always let them each esteem the other more highly than yourself. And she never turned a person down for ministry because they were just a little church or because other people didn't highly esteem them. If God said to do it, she was obedient to what God, all of those things were modeled. I hadn't seen those things modeled before around pastors and churches that I had been. So I thank God for that. Now Moses, now she wrote this manual on the anointing, and there were a lot of different parts. So one part of it was what was involved in the anointing oil that Moses had to put on the priests and on the furniture. And if you understand these Old Testament, they were realities, but they were types of the empowerment that was to come in the New Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And God has, if you just study, if you get learn to love the Word and put yourself under anointed teachers, these things will live in you. And then you'll see what people are so excited about. But in the anointing oil, it was made up of four major parts. And each of these ingredients was symbolic of the things that people must go through in order to receive the anointing and what the anointing is like, the nature or the characteristic of the anointing. The anointing doesn't come on proud people that think they can do things themselves. They're just doing it themselves and doing a pretty good job of it, so you think they're anointing. We don't know much about the anointing. We've outlived our need for that in the church. That's why the church is so dead. And that's why people are leaving the church every day. The anointing attracts and has the power to break, destroy yokes of bondage. The anointing is not charisma or dynamic or intelligence or unusual ability. The anointing is the favor and gift of God for power upon a person's life to accomplish the person that God has called him, the purpose. In Exodus 30, this wonderful description of these ingredients also says there's a warning, there will be no mixture and no substitutes. And we have plenty of that in the church at large today, don't we? Mixture and substitutes. Yeah. It's interesting to see how some of the things that God may be doing today are going to turn out. When Kanye West came out with the things that he's saying now, I said, well, who knows? The scripture says, by their fruits you shall know them. You just wait just a minute and see what the harvest from that's going to be, and then you'll know for sure. Meanwhile, I'm for it. I think the more unusual and the deeper in sin a person is that gets called by God, the more people sit up and pay attention. And they say, God's doing something wonderful right now. I think the fact that he's called people like Kanye West to preach the gospel is amazing. So he preaches at John Osteen's. Joel Osteen's. John's his father, right? And all of the in the other places that he's just popping up, this is truly an amazing thing. I trust that God has given him a great anointing and that it will grow every day. Also, it is not to be applied to that which is not holy. The oil was used as incense to burn before the Lord throughout their generations, the Bible says. They were to offer no strange incense on the altar. The ingredients were stacte, onycha, galbanum, and frankincense. Each of the ingredients was made through some process of crushing or breaking, number one characteristic of things involved in receiving the anointing. Pastors, ministers, preachers will tell you that when they've been through breaking experiences, then the anointing is free to flow out of them. It all goes together. What another person has said, you can't trust a person who doesn't walk with a limp. If a person hadn't been through some dealings, if he's too put together, watch out. If he hasn't experienced any pain yet, he won't know what yours is like. It won't be long till he'll call you down, till you straighten up and act right. You don't want that kind of person ministering to you. Stacte, the Greek word stazo, means to ooze, to distill gradually, to speak forth by inspiration. It is used medicinally as an expectorant to clear up and clear out. You know, the anointed word is really cleansing, and it's supposed to be. And you know, Jane was just sharing with me this morning as we were working on a little computer thing together that the Lord had oozed out to her bits of this preparation and calling, even going back to times with Ann Fletcher when they were praying together. Oozes out, or distilling, drop, drop, drop. The anointing is not something you turn on quick and get yourself a 3.5 month Bible course and bingo, you're a pastor. Come up with $30,000, start your church on Easter, and you got it made. Then there's onycha. Now, we could spend a lot of time on this. We can't today because we're going somewhere else, but I'm on the way. Onycha is a Hebrew word, sheheleth. Looks too much like shibboleth. It's a perfume and a medicine, and it means a shell. It's both a perfume and a medicine. It's collected when the heat dries up the marshes and the shellfish feed on it. Listen, when the Lord dries up the wet places around you, that's when that part of your anointing that is likened to onycha will come forth and people can feed on it. I've sat under people that taught, I felt like I was eating a steak, but I don't really care for steak that much, but I felt like I was eating something big and fat and healthy and helpful. We need a big, fat, healthy word of God preached in the house of God. So I like humor in a message, as you might have noticed, but I don't like for people to get so into that they don't help me. I've heard jokes before. I want to know. I want you to dig something. I dig out a place and pour something in. I want to take something home with me. This is what the anointing does. And galbanum is made by making a deep cut in the bark. Anybody ever felt you've had a deep cut? Oh, when Dr. Peterson, Ruth Peterson, was talking to me about the little episode I had at Blue Mountain where I hit the wall. I had to get repairs for a little while before I was completely back in service. And she said, honey, you was cut in your spirit. That's what we call it. And I thought, cut in my spirit? I was cut everywhere as far as I could tell. But I'll tell you what, there will be deep cuts made in you. But it says the odor is disagreeable, but its gum resin enables the perfume to retain its fragrance longer. Some people have a little light thing to say to you under what could be the anointing, but you can't remember it long enough to get home with it. It's a bitter herb and speaks of suffering. There'll be suffering involved if you're going to be an anointed person. Every church won't tell you this, but we believe in the truth here. Paying the price, intercession, so that you can meet the needs of those in the valley. You have to have some, pray that it won't be so many. The scripture says we can pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. I pray that. I don't say, Lord, give me more experiences so I'll be deeper. Oh, no. Don't pray like that. Pray to get out of it. You'll still get plenty of it anyway. We must have the bitter experiences. And this, you know, sometimes intercession, praying for other people, becomes a hard, bitter experience where you take on the burdens of another and their pains. And then there's frankincense. It's referred to 15 times in the Old Testament as an ingredient. It is referred to twice in the New Testament as an item of trade. It means whiteness or consuming white smoke. Maybe that's why some people want smoke in their sanctuaries. Maybe not. Spontaneous petitions, intercessions on the basis of the redemptive work of Christ on Calvary. That whiteness of that cloud of intercession coming up from you, purified even by the angels, listen to me. And those that minister in prayer around the throne, did you know they clean up your prayers before it's presented to God? Oh, hallelujah. Don't worry if your prayers aren't right. Oh, I can't pray. Oh, yes, you can. When it gets to heaven, the angels are going to fix it and make it what it needs to be. Through the blood and the suffering of the spotless Lamb of God and the incense can be offered acceptably. Now, over in the New Testament, the anointing, one instance is in Acts chapter 13. Now, they were all gathered for worship. It wasn't in a business meeting that they decided who they were going to send out. They gathered to worship. They gathered for a time of seeking God and in prayer. And the scripture says, in these words, and as they were gathered, the Holy Ghost said. Some people don't want the Holy Ghost interrupting their plans. They sent these people to school, bought their books, lifting them up before the people, and that's the ones that they want to use. Well, God has a say in this. If we're going to see His glory, if we're going to be in His presence, we have to let God do what He wants to do. Amen. And at certain times, God will use the most unusual people. Now, He said, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Obviously, He said it through prophecy. Actually, David Schock, some of you know and some of you don't. This is how his calling was confirmed to him. A man from Ireland who'd never met any of the congregation comes out with this prophecy. These people told me these things themselves. I have called my servant David Schock to be my mouthpiece. Well, that makes it pretty clear. Prophet who never heard of any of you, who has a name like David Schock? And he calls him forth, and David from that time himself became a prophet because the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost has said things over me, over other people in this church. When the Holy Spirit speaks it, now there are people who talk as if they were hearing from the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost says. So, In 13:3, the scripture says, and they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Verse 4 says they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I like to know I'm going by the Holy Ghost, especially these days. I think they dwell on every engine that backfires on a plane on the news anymore. Every time you watch the news, it's, you know, these are really, I mean, it sounds pretty hard to you, but I mean, this is not a big deal if an engine on a plane backfires. I mean, it'll scare you if you're sitting there, it feels like the plane's blowing up. But we don't need to hear all those things, but we hear so much of everything. Who'd want to travel these days, for example, go to the mission field, unless the Holy Ghost said, I want him with me. I want him starting the thing. I want him finishing the thing, by the way. The first reason for laying on of hands and appointing ministries is to communicate and release the anointing. In this case, it was also to separate and consecrate Barnabas and Saul. The anointing is neither optional nor dispensable. Now, I want you to hear this. That's the right word. The anointing is neither optional nor dispensable. We've got to have it. We can't do without it. We find no record that the anointing can be changed or lifted by humans. I don't think he's anointed anymore. The role or assignment of an individual may change, but his anointing remains. So if you're really asking for the true anointing of God, get ready to stay with it. Don't think you can just run out. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. As Judson used to say, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. God may choose to increase or enlarge the anointing. You know what? Dr. Pickett and I had a few conversations about this because she had a little different take on the anointing and sort of didn't see it coming down from heaven each time, but saw it more being released from within. Now, that doesn't really make any difference to you, but that was one of her doctrinal thoughts. And I said, well, you know what? When I went to Toronto, I came into something. Something, as far as I could tell, came on me that hadn't yet been in me. I liked it a lot because I'd never experienced it before. I liked the feeling of being electric. It's kind of shocking. I felt it all over. I was shocked. I'm honest when I tell you that I thought some Pentecostal people, sometime I'd see them go, you know, do something like that. And I'd think, why are you doing that? You must be putting that on. It's a learned behavior pattern. I put my psychology to work. And now I are one. You know, I found out that for some reason, during the river movement, that was in, for me, that was about 1994. And when I would walk, when I would take steps, it felt like I was stepping on an electric outlet and plugging into it. Every time I'd take a step. In a way, I wasn't sure I liked it, but another way, I wouldn't part with it. And I would pray each time before I would come to church to minister. And there were people that tried to get me to keep ministering after the anointing for that particular time had dissipated. And I would say, that's all for tonight. That's all. See, sometimes we try to push that. But it comes from God. You can't make it do what you want it to do. You can't use it. Don't ever use it. That puts you in a place you don't want to be. So, the anointing is truly a wonderful thing. And recently, I read the testimony of Carrie Newhoff. He's a Canadian. He received a call from being a lawyer to being the founding pastor of a very successful church, and it birthed other churches. After 24 years in that position, he actually had a nervous breakdown. Now, that's not the good part of the story, but people occasionally have nervous breakdowns or something like them. Maybe they have heavy burnout, and it's not really a nervous breakdown. But he tells about it openly because he wants to help people. He began to realize that there were things he needed to do and enjoyed doing, and that at this point now someone else could take care of the broad responsibility he had had before. It was just too much. And so in his case, he appointed another man as pastor of the church, and Carey himself assumed the title of founding and teaching pastor in his case. The Lord has expanded his calling and anointing to doing things like hosting podcasts. He'll interview people. I'm going to be doing some of that. Providing a blog, which I hope I'll do, for those wanting to learn leadership principles, which involved a certain amount of traveling as well. As soon as I get my traveling shoes back, I'll be doing that. They're in the back of the closet somewhere, but I haven't found them quite yet. In our case, the Lord has expanded Jane's anointing. Expanded, everybody said expanded Jane's anointing. And calling to fulfill the role of senior pastor of the church, which I have been fulfilling that role. And in order for her to be successful, she needed this expansion of the anointing. He really started giving it to her because she shared this with me back at our week of prayer and fasting, which is very wonderful this year in January. And she told me about that vision that she shared with you last Sunday. Everybody remember that Jane told about having a vision? Does anybody remember it? Oh, good. This is great. I do not ask trick questions. You don't have to be afraid when I ask. I do not do that to people. Like, you know, I asked the group that were doing things at my home last night, you know, the fellow that helps John and all, and he said I was just very serious, and I said, how could a woman have two children at the same time on the same day? Now, if you've already heard this, don't answer. And they would not be twins. Well, he thought I was dead serious. Well, they started coming with all of these. They could have two fathers and all these scientific things. I thought, oh my gosh. And so I said, no, it's simple. They're two of triplets. But I'm not asking you any trick questions like that. So you can raise your hands. You can just simply raise your hand and be at ease. Now, to be successful in that, then the Lord expanded her anointing so that she could implement the things that God has shown her. Do you know how happy it makes me when God shows Jane something and she knows it's from God? Now, when she knows it's from God, she'll take your head off and tell you it's from God. She won't back down. She won't change it. And she either got it from God, like the one that Olin had. How many of you remember that Olin told about the vision that he had that was so similar to hers, it just made you sort of freeze up for a minute to think about it. Such an amazing thing. Only his was how many months? 11 months later. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, an elephant baby, that sounds good. So, in implementing these things, in order to do that, others need to take on a point that may not be heard. Speak louder, I have in my notes. Others need to take on various roles of work and oversight that she has been doing out of necessity. Amen. I recently read a most enlightening article in which several leaders, including Carrie Newhoff from Canada that I just mentioned, reveal their key to success. Listen, it was the founder of Amazon or one of these huge countries that owns the world almost. I mean companies. Companies. It's not a country yet. Including leaders like that, they all agreed, I want you to listen carefully, as to what their key for success is. Focus. Focus. How many of you planned a lot to do one day, but you got distracted by too many things? And maybe you have a little bit of trouble keeping your focus because you just give in to police sirens and whatever thing just comes up. Now listen to this. The problem with most of us is not that we don't dream big. It's that our dreams and goals get lost in the shuffle each working day. Kerry Newhoff discovered that when he and his church focused on their website, for example, their response to their website increased 6 times. We're going to do a little more focusing on ours coming up. The same thing happened when they focused on the finances. By all means, let's focus on the finances. They learned that what you focus on is the area that expands. We need to set Jane free to allow God to release her to develop what he has shown her. You know, God doesn't just give you fresh vision. Or how should I say that? He doesn't put flesh, legs and arms and so forth, on your vision just any day in the week. It's very special when God speaks from heaven and gives you a vision and or a picture and makes your dream technicolor and then begins to impart to you fresh anointing with which to do it. We need to respond when that happens. We need to set Jane free to allow God to release her to develop what he's shown her. The calling is a spiritual calling. That doesn't mean that she can't do natural things, but those things cannot crowd out what God has called her to do. In order to accomplish that, there has to be a focus. Everybody say, there has to be a focus. How many of you want Jane to focus so she can carry this thing through, so we can take the next step in where God has for us to go, so that we can bring people into this house that God wants here, so that we can make room and set things up, so that we can take care of those he sends us? Amen. This is what we want to see happen. I'm glad Rebecca wants to do it too. I could hear her. Because if she didn't want to do it, she'd cause us problems. So the problem you're having with your computer can be handled by someone else. Now, let me tell you something. I know what you're thinking. Let me tell you something. To spare Jane being involved in my computer problem, yesterday, I spent 2 hours with the Geek Squad, and we fixed everything except, and Jane wasn't there to fix my computer. She was there for another reason today. So when we got ready to print it out, it had a little problem, which, thank God, she was able to adjust for us. Now, the problem you're having with your computer can be handled by someone else. I knew the minute I said that she had helped me this morning that you all were going to say, overseeing various work and activities needs to be given to a capable person. Many, many details need to be organized and turned over to others. That's too many's. Many, many. Details. A lot of details. And besides, many, many people need to be involved. If you'll agree to be involved, God will empower you. You'll step into something new and different. You'll be able to do things that you couldn't do before because you yielded yourself, trusting God to empower you to do it.